Hello. Hi, everybody. Hi. Hope everybody's doing well. Welcome to the pod, the podcast. Hi, everybody. Everybody's doing well. This is now our third time doing this. I've been messing with the camera all week. I feel pretty good about where it is right now. It's not going to like get way too overexposed or anything. I'm pretty excited about it. Hi, everybody in the chat on Twitch. On YouTube, we just started up on TikTok as well. I'm doing it on the phone. There's some kind of beauty filter on the TikTok I don't know how to get rid of. So I'm like handsome maxing on that one, we'll say. But hi, everybody. This is a week where there's not been a like one huge story that's going to dominate this thing. It's more like a bunch of little stuff all over the place. So we're going to treat it like that and do a bunch of little stories. Also, a lot of the stuff I haven't read and I actually saved. So we're going to be learning about it together. But just to quickly give you a sense of what we're talking about, we have a very small update to the Diddy thing. Dwayne Johnson has decided to announce that he is not being political by making a political remark. Bob Iger talked about Disney and the criticism of woke and how that affects the future of Disney. Also talks about the new Matrix movie coming out. We officially have a fifth Matrix movie. There's also Variety put out an interesting article about how IMAX is basically saving the theatrical experience. Danny McBride talked about how he can't stand movie theaters because of everybody eating and drinking, and I totally agree, and I'm going to go on a rant about that probably. We also have a new Legally Blonde TV show happening. Alan Richson from Reacher says he wants to be Batman, which I fully endorse, fully. We have a slight update on James Mangold's Star Wars movie because we have a writer attached to it. Dune 3 is officially a go, Godoy, and Christian Bale is now a Jared Leto-esque Frankenstein. Like a Jared Leto Joker-esque Frankenstein in Maggie Gyllenhaal's directorial debut. So that's the stuff we're going to talk about. Kind of all over the place. I'm not sure how I feel about a lot of this stuff, but I'll start by just talking about some personal stuff in general. If you've been following me on Instagram, you know that my kitten Valentina got spayed this week. She's been very good kitten about it. I don't see her currently, so she's probably hiding under the bed. Because she's, you know, obviously in a little bit of pain still. She's on meds, but I think she's hiding under there a little bit so that Giuseppe, the puppy, doesn't jump on her a bit. So, but she's doing great. And now I get to threaten Giuseppe every time he's acting up. I'm like, you're next, buddy. You're next. Because he isn't neutered yet. So that's on the list. But yeah, hi, everybody. Hi. In the chat. Hi, Pirate Captain, Kevin, Judy, Randomness. Hi, everybody. Hope everybody's doing so well. Arthur in the Twitch chat. Ellie, Darkly, JLTF, Moto, I hope everybody's doing great. Stu, Katie, hi from Scotland, hi. Sean, hi, what's up? And then everybody on YouTube, Hev, Sophia, Diane, Mick, Connor, Mr. Cake, Milky the Cow, Cat, hi everybody, hope everybody's doing so well. Hey, I bet you're sick of hearing this, but absolutely made the Amber, the trial, yeah. It's crazy that people still, like, that was so long ago. It's funny, I had a friend, she went and did a music video shoot somewhere, and the place randomly had a newspaper laying out from the day Johnny won the case, which is very, very funny. It's like, God, it's everywhere. It's still everywhere. It's so dumb. Anyways, hope everybody's doing well. Happy weekend. Happy Saturday. I might as well just sort of get into this. The last week, we talked about everything going on with Diddy. And the raid, obviously that was the biggest story, continues to be kind of the biggest story, but there isn't a lot to update at this point. It's only been a week. And like I said last time, it's going to be possibly months before all of the information, all of the evidence that was gathered by Homeland Security has actually gone through and they're able to get enough to actually move forward with any kind of arrest. But we did figure that Diddy's kids would be implicated in this, and now it very much is the case. So with this, Sean Diddy Combs, who's subject to a federal sex trafficking investigation, has been named as a defendant in a new lawsuit that alleges his son sexually assaulted a woman while she was working on a yacht the music mogul had chartered for a trip at the end of 2022. Shocker, billionaire yacht. Not great things happen on billionaires' yachts. This is not news. This is absolutely what's going to happen if you subject yourself to a billionaire's yacht. God, what's that Scottish comedian? He says the only reason rich people buy yachts is that so they can abduct children, take them out into international waters, and kill them. Which is sounds not funny, but I assure you, it is very funny when he says it. But that's kind of, that's like, if you think anything other than that is happening on billionaires' yachts, that's exactly what's going on. Okay, the allegations are the latest in a wave of lawsuits against Combs, 54, of sexual assault, sex trafficking, and engaging in other criminal activity. He has denied all the allegations, calling them second-eating. In the suit filed Thursday in Los Angeles Superior Court, Grace O'Marcaine alleges that Christian Combs, 26, sexually assaulted her in late December 2022 while she was working on a boat charter that had been sold as a wholesome family excursion. I bet. Yeah. Scary world. Definitely don't go on a boat with a dude on a first date, Katie. Yeah, that's good advice for life in general. But yeah, we figured he would be implicated. He is super duper implicated in this. And I think whenever they come down with indictments for Diddy, we can expect not only his sons, but then anybody else who is sort of in their camp as well. And is very much going to happen. It will happen. And so that's most of that. There's not really too much of an update other than that. I know that Cuba Gooding Jr., we already knew that he was implicated. And now it's like there's some allegations against Kanye, though I don't think they're really related. It's hopefully the beginning of some kind of domino effect. I know that there's been a lot of people talking about like this is just part of a bigger thing that's going to come out. Like a lot of more people higher up even than Diddy are going to be a part of this. But I think that's just more of like a general sense of wanting there to be some bigger conspiracy and probably just wishful thinking also from a desire for this to just stop as a whole. So don't blame me for feeling that way at all. Nora, do I read comments on YouTube? I sure as shit do. I read them everywhere. I'm seeing everything. Yeah. I have all the comments up. The whole point is I like doing this live so we can actually like, I can get your thoughts. We can chat about this. I like that. So feel free, ask questions. If you have anything you want to talk about, feel free. I want to read your thoughts and talk about it. But yeah, that was just a quick update on last week's. I also want to start doing reader mail where if I miss anybody's comments and somebody wants to leave a comment on the videos, like the VODs, I will then get around to those in the next week's video. That's my hope at least. So this is a super weird story now that I want to talk about. Dwayne Johnson says endorsing Biden for president in 2022 caused divisions that, quote, tears me up in my guts. And today's woke culture really bugs me. Of course, did he say this in a tweet? Did he say this, I don't know, on Instagram or something? It's like, no, he said this to Fox News. So he's sort of making like, he's not endorsing anybody else. He's sort of saying, I'm not endorsing anybody, but I'm also definitely not endorsing Biden. And I'm saying it on Fox News. Now, I think a lot of people hit the nail on the head, but I will just generally translate this, which is Dwayne Johnson, as far as he's concerned, is like Tom Cruise level A-list, the biggest celebrity of all time. Everybody loves him. Everybody would absolutely freak out if they saw him live. He is the biggest celebrity on planet Earth as far as Dwayne Johnson's concerned. So I'm sure it came as much of a shock that Black Adam didn't do very well. So I feel like this is probably a direct response to what the hell happened? Everybody loves me. I don't understand how this could have flopped. It doesn't make any sense. And everybody just being like shoulders, like, I don't know, and pretending like they have no idea. And then somebody saying, well, you know, it might be that middle America didn't show up because you endorsed Biden. That's the only logical explanation. And now he goes, oh my God, I'm destroying my legacy. Quick backpedal. Backpedal as fast as humanly possible. Not only that, but then I also wonder if now publicists around Hollywood are looking at sort of how Sydney Sweeney has had this meteoric rise from lots of things. She's very talented, very beautiful, lots of various reasons. But also there's this sort of like she got claimed early on by conservative America. And I think that propelled her to a certain degree. And so I think there's a lot of people looking. And again, this is not a new playbook item at all. But the idea of like, we should probably be pandering a little bit more to the middle of the country is I think on the top of a lot of people's minds, especially in an election year. So, I mean, the same thing with Taylor Swift is like, she's kind of, you know, conservative America claimed her because she was country. Then she went pop and then sort of kept silent. And now she's kind of drifting towards the left a little bit out of a sense of moral obligation, which I respect. But yeah, Dwayne Johnson going out and saying this, like, I don't understand why he felt the need to do this, unless it was really just because he feels like his career is at risk. because he's losing appeal due to Black Adam crumbling. Because remember, that it wasn't just that movie screwed up, it was that movie screwed up a, like, what could have been a 10-year arc for him as a superhero, as what was supposed to be the new, like, cornerstone of the DCU. So I'm sure him and all of his people are looking around like, Christ, what do we do now? Because he's essentially freaking out. That's how I feel like this is probably where this is coming from. Would I have advised him to go on Fox News to say this? Probably not, but it's definitely, he wants to be visible by those people. And that's exactly what we're seeing here. Behind the make reviews, he lost his own appeal. He bullied Warner Brothers to bring back Cavill and didn't have the sway more people showed for that tiny cameo. The pebble is Black Adam. Well, I think I get what you're talking about. He thought, he fancied himself the cornerstone of the new DC, but that was, he was never going to be that because they had other plans. He thought that he was the thing that was going to be the anchor of the new DCU, but really it's James Gunn. It's not an actor. It was a director and a producer, which is James Gunn. And so he has no interest in these vestigial things that are sort of left hanging by the previous administration, if you will. And so he's going to go do his own thing, which makes perfect sense. So this is just a matter of, I think he is panicking because he had the next 10 years mapped out through DC, is looking for something to blame, decided that he's alienated middle America and is now trying to course correct so that he can have the kinds of box office numbers that he is more familiar with. That's how I feel about it, at least. Had me on TikTok, DCU better than MCU? To each their own. Personally, I don't think that's the case. I think I prefer DC characters to MCU characters. I prefer, for as good as Marvel live action movies are, DC animated has been some of the best animated films ever made, and they've largely gone under the radar of like mainstream America. I feel like it's definitely not reached that same level of prestige in the zeitgeist. However, they have been absolutely nailing it, and they're beautiful, they're masterful, they're artful. DC has the best animated movies of, I think, anybody, period. They're amazing. And if you've missed out on a lot of those, I highly recommend opening up HBO Max right now, or just Max, whatever the hell they call it now, and going to the DC tab or whatever it is. And every time you see an animated movie with a Batman on it, with Superman on it, for God's sake, watch it, because they're all really good. They are all really good. Really, really good. Haley, hey, what's up? Batgirl, he's striving so hard to stay relevant. The Rock. I mean, he is relevant. He's always going to be relevant. He plays well internationally, which is where people get most of their box office take nowadays, which is fine. He's one of those people, too. It's like you see his name pop up on streaming services. A lot of people click it. It's the same kind of reason that Adam Sandler has this huge overall deal with Netflix. It's like you would think he's not super relevant right now, but there are people that like Adam Sandler movies around the world enough that he can get an insane amount of money. Fart out bullshit movies, and they will in turn shit views and money. So it's one of those things. It's the power of the name. Power of the name. And so Dwayne Johnson, still that. I think he still has that. I think he's probably more, he's a little nervous. He's going to lose it because, in my opinion, he doesn't have the legacy. He doesn't have the backlog of iconic characters that, say, maybe a Tom Cruise has. You know, I think he wants to be up to that level, but it's like, I'm struggling even now to think of like one good Dwayne Johnson movie. And I know that's probably being harsh, but I really, it's like, he did Hercules. Like, that was pretty blah. He's in like, he tried to steal the Fast and Furious franchise essentially from Vin Diesel. He was pretty good in those, but like, I'm literally trying to think, like, but Scorpion King, like what are some iconic, like 10 out of 10, like, oh, like I associate Dwayne Johnson with this, like, yeah, Moana, I guess, where he tried to sing, but he can't really sing. It's going to be in the live action for that. I don't know if that's going to end up being it, but you know what I mean, though? It's not like he doesn't have his Mission Impossible. he doesn't have his Ethan. He doesn't have his movie like Cocktail. He doesn't have his movie like Rain Man. He doesn't have those, like the Skyscraper one. Yeah, it's like he did the Disney Cruise one, the Jungle Cruise. What else? He did a bunch of those, Gridiron Gang. But see, it's like Jumanji. It's like he did all of these kind of middling, like big budget, forgettable movies, which is, you know, it's a great way to be rich. But I don't know if the legacy, like, I don't know how many of those movies have staying power. Like, when was the last time you went and rewatched San Andreas? When was the last time you rewatched Walking Tall? It's a lack of legacy. His legacy in my mind is still wrestling. And I truly, like, I don't think he's necessarily a bad actor, but I also don't know if he could handle something really dramatic or if he has any even interest in doing that. He was good in The Other Guys, but that was basically a cameo, more or less. He wasn't the star of that in any way. That is a great movie, though. I love that movie. Big, big fan of that movie. The Rock gives J-Lo vibes. Oh, that's mean. That's not good. That's not good. That's not a good vibe to give. No. Could you see him in tights doing Shakespeare? Absolutely. Oh, God. See, the problem with Dwayne Johnson especially is he is built to be Arnold Schwarzenegger, but he's just not. He is just not. That's all it comes down to. Like, I don't know. I don't know how to change that for him. I don't know if it's just like he needs a Terminator. He needs a Jingle All the Way. Like, I don't know what's stopping him from being Arnold Schwarzenegger. But right now, I think that's the comparison that I think he would want to go for. And the only thing we can compare him to. But like, I'll pose it to you guys. Like, what's stopping him from? It's just that the movies aren't that good. It could be as simple as that. The movies are just not that good. Jingle All the Way, iconic Christmas movie. I can't think of something comparable he has. He's been in a few comedies, but nothing like to that level. Like Mr. Freeze was great. I haven't seen him do any kind of like a comparable bad guy role. I guess maybe the Fast and the Furious ones too, but I don't know. I really can't think of like, and again, it's like an iconic one for him. Like his Conan the Barbarian should have been Hercules, that movie Hercules. Because Conan the Barbarian is one of those things where it's like he was the only person that could play that because he was the only person built like an absolute fucking tank, Schwarzenegger. But his version of that would have been Hercules. So like, okay, the only person who could play Hercules right now is Dwayne Johnson. He's built like that. But the movie just wasn't good. So it wasn't that stake in the ground of like moving it further and further in his legacy and like building up this catalog of incredible films. He's building a catalog of very expensive, forgettable movies. And it's just not a good legacy to have. Built like a what? A tent? No, a tank. He's not built like a tent. Andre the Giant's built like a tent. Baywatch? Yeah, but Baywatch is forgettable too. He keeps doing these, what would conventionally be considered safe, guaranteed bets. But none of them are that good. And I'm not saying that's more of a him thing. I think it's more of a problem with the movie industry as a whole. However, he is just also not benefiting from this in any way, shape, or form. He needs to do something different. Or maybe he has enough sway that he can do something to sort of fix the film industry. I don't know. Probably not. I think he just has an interest in being as famous and beloved as humanly possible, because a lot of people who get into acting are just trying to fill that void within themselves. Shannon on TikTok, he just seems like a one-dimensional character. Yeah, but the problem is, generally speaking, that is what you want in a movie star. That is what you're looking for. You're looking for somebody where if you hire them and give them $10, $20, $30 million a movie, you want that one character. Like Tom Cruise, like he has done some parts where he plays not Tom Cruise. But for the most part, he's playing Tom Cruise. You know what I mean? Top Gun, Mission Impossible, it's like that's just Tom Cruise right there. That's all it is. So you want that kind of predictability when it comes to movie stars, generally speaking. It just so happens that these people have also been good actors. It's just that now it's a lot of people are just are becoming actors. Like The Rock going to movies, I think is very much like the influencerification of Hollywood, where it's like, or like the pre-sold safe franchises of Hollywood, where it's like, we want something that has a built-in fan base that we can then, it'll make it a safer bet. It's the same reason why they make adaptations of TV shows or remakes. It's called a pre-sold franchise because there's a guaranteed buy-in interest from the audience already. And so you could equate that same principle to actors. Like, this is somebody that people already know, already like, and there's already going to be a guaranteed amount of buy-in from the audience when you put that name on a poster. And then that's the same reason that people like Arnold Schwarzenegger would get the kind of money they did. It's why he got paid significantly, like 10x times more money than George Clooney to play Mr. Freeze. It's because he's Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he had that name on the poster. But before he was an actor, he wasn't a name like that. He became it from acting. It's just now we're giving people a chance that are not from acting to become that, because again, it's a pre-sold thing. And then the more green somebody is in the film industry, the more you can take advantage of them, which is nothing new either. Angelo told you Cruise is tacky and shit. The reason he keeps going is just because he's a Scientologist. In all fairness, like, you'll talk to people who are like super like understand like Scientology's bullshit. This is all, it's all dumb. But at the same time, like, everyone likes Tom Cruise. He's just, it's hard to not like him, even taking into account the Scientology bits. And I have a lot to say about Scientology. I once went with a friend of mine who was doing a theology paper, and we did a tour of it. I've had people who I interviewed who were like actors who tried to convert me to Scientology. I know lots and lots about Scientology. I have friends who have acted in Scientology movies on their lot who aren't Scientologists. So I have forgotten more about Scientology than I think a lot of people would know. But Tom Cruise is just such a good guy on paper and in life that, like, it's, you just forget. And also, he's so powerful that I think a lot of people just kind of like brush it off. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that's the right thing to do. It's just, I'm trying to explain like his legacy and how he's able to sort of circumvent the hate for Scientology. That's fine. You can't stand Tom Cruise. I'm just saying, like, more so like in the industry, I'll say, like, generally speaking in the industry, I'll say that much. Funny. Like he Tom Cruise is one of those people. Like, I'll tell you a story. I'll tell you a Tom Cruise story. So I had a friend of mine. He was working at a small production company, I think it was. And Tom Cruise came in for a day to do something. I forget what it was, but he just came in for a day, and he didn't need to. He could have just come in, done his thing, and come out. But instead, he walked around and he talked to every single person in the room. He gave them like all like time too, not just like hi and then move on. Like, hi, how you doing? Like, what's your life story? So my friend was an intern, so he stopped and talked to me. He's like, oh, I do this. I'm like copywriter or whatever. I'm finishing up at UCLA. You know, then I'm gonna probably end up working here full time. He's like, oh, that's so great. That's so awesome. Like, asking him like questions and being involved. Years pass by. I think like maybe 2 years. Tom Cruise comes back in for something else. Sees my friend. Again, 2 years. He met everybody there. Sees my friend and goes, oh, hey. And his name, I'm gonna say his name, but it's like, hey, your name. They're like, hey, did you finish UCLA? You're working here full time now, right? That is the kind of A-list insane person that Tom Cruise is. Like, every single interaction he has with somebody is like logged and calculated to be like a good experience. He like, because remember, it's like, that's how it works with rumors about people. Like, if he had one bad experience with somebody, that could end up being his legacy forever, because of how weird it is that these stories just spread throughout the multiverse, let's say. But yeah, he goes out of his way to make everybody feel good. And that is how you get people everywhere to be like, I fucking love Tom Cruise. It's through stuff like that. And, you know, again, not great. I don't know where Dave Miscavige's wife is. I don't know about any of that stuff. I don't know. It's not great. It is super not great. They're an evil, evil organization. But Tom Cruise, just his legacy, he has gone way, way out of his way to make sure that he is beloved. He is powerful. He is A-list of the A-list. That's my Tom Cruise rant. And I don't think Dwayne Johnson has it in him to ever reach that kind of level, both in talent and in disposition. if that makes sense. Alex Valentine on YouTube, he's the nicest murderer. I mean, I wouldn't go so far as to call it like Bundy syndrome, but you know, not saying it's not that. You know, just saying it's not that. Anyway, so that's my Dwayne Johnson rant. That's pretty much it. I haven't read this thing yet. This is I think maybe going to be an interesting one. We'll see. But this is particularly about how Bob Iger spoke recently about the Disney criticism and how everybody's saying like go woke, go broke about Disney. So they asked him about it. So on what he calls it, a lot of people don't even understand really what it means. The CEO also talks about succession and planning in a wide-ranging CNBC interview. Basically, Disney just fought off a hostile takeover, which is not the first one they've done. So with the Nelson Peltz proxy fight in a rearview mirror, they're done with that. Disney's in the same hands. Nothing happened there. In a wide-ranging interview with CNBC on Thursday morning, Iger said in a meeting with shareholders over the past few months, succession was a key issue. Blah, 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 blah. Board didn't establish the number. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. He also suggested that while his contract runs to 2026, that will be announced right in just a proxy fight. Sorry, I'm just like buzzing through trying to find the part that I actually want to talk about. Okay. Iger did seem to acknowledge that critiques... Oh, motherfucker, I lost it. Hold on. Give me a second. I lost it. Iger did seem to acknowledge the critiques of Disney's content as being woke may have had a degree of merit, though he added, quote, the term woke is thrown around rather liberally, no pun intended in that regard. God, I think that a lot of people don't even understand really what it means. I think the noise is sort of quieted down. I've been preaching this for a long time at the company before I left, and since I came back, then our number one goal is to entertain. The bottom line is that infusing messaging as a sort of number one priority in our films and TV is not what we're up to. They need to be entertaining and where the Disney company can have a positive impact in the world, whether it's, you know, fostering acceptance and understanding of people of all different types, great. But generally speaking, we need to be an entertainment company first and understanding that, look, we're trying to reach a very, very diverse audience. And on one hand, in order to do that, what you do, the stories you tell, have to really reflect the audience that you're trying to reach. But that audience, because they're so diverse, really, first and foremost, they want to be entertained. And sometimes they can't be turned off by certain things. And we just have to be more sensitive to the interests of a broader audience. It's not easy, you know, so that we can't please everybody all the time, right? This is more or less what I was saying, too. It's like, you got to understand, this is a company that is publicly traded and is trying to appeal to the most people humanly possible. And I for all the people that were saying, like, go woke, go broke, and they're not going to watch Disney movies, like, I kind of bet you still are. If I had to guess, that's my guess. And again, it's like what woke is such a misused term. I agree with him on that, and it is thrown around very liberally. Which was actually a good pun if he meant it that way. But I will say that I understand where they're coming from, and I think, you know, he's a pretty good CEO. He is a dick now because of what we learned he said during the strikes when he allegedly said that they were going to hold out on the strike until all the writers started losing their houses, which is a pretty dystopian thing to say, pretty ridiculous. But aside from that, he has a reputation of being the greatest Disney CEO since Walt. And I think he's very good at what he does. And he played this very well. This is sort of a middle of the road answer. And also, I think the truth, it's the truth. It's like, I don't know what people are expecting. It's like they're going to make it about, a lot of these are going to be about acceptance. A lot of them are going to be about diversity in some way. But it's like, generally speaking, it's like, it's also very subjective. So you might get out of it a message that is totally, totally not what they meant. And I know that there's a lot of like there's that South Park episode where Cartman is... Kathleen Kennedy, and he's just running around. She's just running around Disney screaming, put a chick in it and make her gay, as like a commentary on Disney's platform with especially Star Wars. But again, it's if you have a serious problem with seeing a reflection of, I think, the current makeup of America and the world, it says a lot more about you than it says about Disney personally. And I'm not trying to make this political in any way, but it's like, They are making movies that are reflecting the times we're living in. And it's your choice if you want to put blinders on and not accept that. But as a company that is publicly traded has to answer to shareholders, they're looking to make the most money possible, and they're going to do that by making by making things that apply to everybody. And that's also one of the reasons why they do multiple cuts of something, you know? Like, you can't have certain things in China. Like, they've done some pretty monstrous stuff. Like, they took Finn, I forget the actor's name, from Star Wars, from the sequel trilogy. They took him off the posters in China. They took the black guy off the posters in China. Not great. Not great. But something that they felt like they probably had to do in order to appeal to the biggest audience possible, in order to make the most amount of money, in order to make the most money for their shareholders, because people like Bob Iger and the other people have to, they have a fiduciary duty to the shareholders and to make the most amount of money possible. And you don't do that by alienating people. And although I feel like, if you are one of those people who are like, who thinking their whole thing is like, put a chicken in and make it gay, then you might feel alienated by that. But it's like, that is still, I think, a wild minority of the people who are unwilling to see those and to actually boycott those. John Boyega, thank you. I space on movies. I space on names sometimes. But if you're really bothered by that, I still think that represents a wildly small minority of people who are probably still going to see the movies, go to the parks, etc. It's just there's a lot of very loud people on Twitter / X, and they are not going to be forced to do anything because of those people. They're playing a 4D chess. They're playing a bigger game than any one person's political ideology. And that's you know, Disney's, I think, played it pretty well, more or less. You know, they're not the good guys necessarily, but they're doing what they can in the marketplace. And at the end of the day, it's capitalism. Capitalism is what's dictating basically every decision when it comes to a publicly traded company. So, such is life. That's where we are. I don't think TikTok's going to get banned. I saw somebody talking about that on TikTok. I don't think it's going to happen. Kind of don't watch Disney and Marvel anyway, so I'm not bothered, and Disney Plus isn't worth the cash. It's kind of not. They haven't been putting out decent stuff. I don't know what's going to happen with the future of streaming services. I really don't, but it feels like we're at some kind of breaking point now. It's getting so expensive, and I think people are canceling a lot more quickly than they used to. It's not feasible anymore to keep everything open. Keep your accounts open. Even I've canceled Netflix. The only reason I'm going to turn Netflix back on is when they have the last season of Stranger Things. That's it. I got nothing else. I rewatch Star Wars a lot, so I still have Disney Plus for that. But generally speaking, like there will be events like the Quiet on the Set show. Like when that came out, it's like, okay, well then I will watch that specifically on that streaming service and then probably cancel. They just need to. I don't know. They're going to keep bundling them all together until we're back to cable. At which point, I don't know, it's all going to start over again. I have no idea. But I feel like we're at some kind of breaking point. Am I right? We're at some kind of breaking point. You watch Gilmore Girls on Netflix? Well, that's the thing. And then like Gilmore Girls is going to go, they're licensed temporarily to Netflix. And then it's going to go switch to another streaming service. And it just keeps playing hot potato like that. There are Marvel movies right now that aren't even just on Disney Plus. They're everywhere else too. They're on Netflix. They're on Hulu or whatever. They're other places too. It's not even exclusive. It's all just a licensing game of like, it goes from here to goes to there, to goes to there, to goes to there. And nobody, in my opinion, nobody is making enough. Like nobody is hitting it out of the park so consistently with their originals that I'd be like, this is the one. Maybe HBO Max, maybe. But even then, like, I can't even say that for sure. Anyways, that's kind of that. We can get into some more fun news now. There's a new Matrix movie, y'all. There's a fifth one. So Warner Brothers is heading back to the Matrix, and this time with Drew Goddard is leading the charge. This, I'm actually kind of excited about, because obviously, first one of the best movies ever made, period. Everyone at that time was kind of like, how do we make a movie work like in this way? How do you make it action and philosophical and dark and have fucking kung fu in it? They like the Wachowskis figured it out. They were like, oh, that's how you do it. It was incredible. It's one of the best opening sequences of all time. I love how they do it. It's one of my favorite ways to open a movie, where you just have an action scene that is super confusing and a bunch of like weird mystical shit happens with no explanation. And then throughout the movie, you learn the answers to all of that. Like, why did she disappear when the phone came up? Why are they able to tell exactly what's going on in the exact place? How are they able to do the slow-mo thing? How are these agents able to like teleport between each other? Like, all of these questions get asked in the beginning. You're like, I am so fucking in. Holy shit, this is awesome. And it's all just an action sequence. And then slowly, because we're following the perspective character of Neo, who has no idea what the fuck's going on, then we are learning along with him. It is an amazing structure. That movie fucks. It fucks. Matrix Reloaded also fucks. Is it a good movie? Not necessarily, but it fucks. It fucks hard. It's great. And then the third one was a comic book, not in a good way. It was a straight up comic book, not in a good way. Then this last one sucked. As did basically everything the Wachowskis have done since. I have not personally cared for anything they've done since The Matrix. I didn't like Cloud Atlas. I didn't like, what was the other one they did? There's a couple others I didn't particularly like. So I will say that I think the best thing they could do right now is give the series to somebody else. They're obviously going to still be executive producing, as I understand it. It's just they are now giving it to another director, another writer. And I think that's a fair thing to do. They've created this very... very deep, expansive world. There's a lot going on in it. There's a lot of characters to be talked about in it that are existing. There's a lot of different places you can take it. I'm not sure if this is going to be an exact like Matrix 5 or if it's going to be a reboot. I'm not sure. But Godard, he has a lot of producing experience, a lot of writing experience, and he did Cabin in the Woods. I think that might have been one of his only directing gigs, I think, because he's been a producer and a writer, but he did Cabin in the Woods, which was great. Great, 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 great. I don't think they're going to reboot it. I think if I were to take it over, like if I was him and sitting there and I knew that this world, actually, you know what? Hold on. I got to think about this for a second. Because under normal circumstances, you would probably want to say like, okay, I want to make movies in this world. Please don't make me do like take what is already there and try to build a sequel to this because a lot of this stuff isn't good. So I'm going to just do my own thing and probably unwrite all that stuff. I don't like when that happens, when somebody else takes over the story as a writer in particular, because that's like what happened with the sequel series for Star Wars. Like they had, like the whole thing was like J.J. Abrams made it. And he's like, great. I set all this stuff up. Now you can go. What's his face? The director of the next one, Rian Johnson. Rian Johnson, is that right? Anyways, then he was like, okay, well, you said I could do whatever I want, and you set all this stuff up. Kind of don't like any of the stuff you did, so I'm gonna kind of do my own thing. Rian Johnson, I'm sorry, Rian Johnson, yeah. So then that was kind of the problem. Then they're like, that was kind of weird. Maybe we shouldn't have let him do whatever he wants. And then they ended up spending a third movie undoing everything he did. So it was like three movies of everybody undoing like regardless of what you think about those movies. The problem was it was two creatives, or like a team of creatives that equal J.J. Abrams and Kathleen Kennedy, and then Rian Johnson, them sort of undoing each other's decisions. And that's when it fell apart. So that is what I wouldn't want to see happen here, is they're like, well, I don't like the cards I'm dealt with the Matrix series now, so I'm gonna now spend this movie laying groundwork and undoing a bunch of weird shit that I don't want to continue. I think that is potential problem. So what you would want to do ideally to avoid that is say, I'm going to make stories in this world. Like this world exists. This could be in the future. This could be the story of, you know, cause remember they talked about in Matrix Reloaded, how this is not the first time, like there had been predecessors to Neo. And then this had happened. I think they said three or four other times, the architect said, in Reloaded. What if it told the story of one of those? What if it told the story of the one? I'd watch that. Point being, there's other stories to be told in that world. You could also go deep, deep into the future if you want. I don't know. You could tell the story of the first battle, the original fight where they blacked out the sky against the AI and all of that. You could tell all of those stories. That's what I would personally want to do. The problem is, it's if the studio wants to, and if the Wachowskis want to continue this narrative, then I think there's potential for kind of a blah movie. That makes sense. I will watch it anyway too, Especially, but I'll be very, very curious. I'll be super, super curious about how it's going to end up. But when I look at the situation, I think about like what is he going to do? What is he going to want to do? Personally, I would like to see other things happen in that world instead of continuing this narrative that is not necessarily beloved by anybody. I think if they wanted to continue it exactly how it is, then the Wachowskis would still be helming it 100%. But the fact that they're not is, I think, an indication of wanting to go in a new direction. And so wanting to go in a new direction shouldn't immediately follow the last extremely bad movie that flopped. That's how I look at it. But it's definitely the it's good for Drew Goddard because expectations are on the floor. So there's lots of things you can do. That's exciting. Very much expectations are on the floor. But it's I think in his hands what the future of the, if there's a potential future for the Matrix over the next 10 years or not. If whatever he puts out is still bad, then we're done. Then I think we're done. Then I'm like, you know what? I'm pretty sure there was just one Matrix movie. I'm pretty sure there might have been just one. There might have been a second one. I don't remember. But I think there might have just been the one. Do I like the John Wick movies? I'm going to be honest. I've never seen a single John Wick movie. I would love them. I'm yelled at constantly because I would love them. And I haven't seen them. But I haven't seen them. Hold on. Let me take a second. Sauce, thank you for the resub on Twitch. Haley, thank you for the resub. Relax Window Gaming, thanks for the follow. Upton, Adam, thank you for the follow. Arthur, thank you for the resub. Appreciate you. Thank you, everybody, on the Twitch side. I haven't seen any gifts come through on YouTube. And thank you for everybody who sent gifts on TikTok. How do I see them? I'm so not used to streaming on the actual, like, thing. Anyways, what do I think of Liam Neeson? Liam Neeson's one of my favorite actors of all time. Easily one of my favorite actors of all time. I recently rewatched Kingdom of Heaven, the Ridley Scott movie about the Crusade, about the Crusades with Orlando Bloom. And Liam Neeson is in the beginning of it. Spoiler. It's fucking great. It's amazing. Shay, thank you for the gifts. I appreciate you. I appreciate it for the rose. You're number one gifter on the TikTok. Thank you very much. Kingdom of Heaven, what a callback. Yeah. I'm going to be honest. Kingdom of Heaven, I like it. It's just a matter of like, it was like 3 hours long. And I feel like it could have been 2 hours long. Because the battle sequences are so, so long. But like, unless we're talking Helm's Deep level battle sequence, I'm gonna get bored. I did laundry, I cooked. I was like, I'm bored, man. It's just too much battle. And the stakes weren't there. But I did enjoy the first hour of the film where there's actual exposition. Also, oh my god, it had like every good character actor in the world is in that movie. Also, I didn't even realize that Ed Norton plays the leper king. What's his name? I forget the actual guy's name. Baldwin? King Baldwin the Fourth, I think. It's great. You're not much of a Neeson fan, Angela. I love him. He's great. Did I see the new movie on Netflix about Prince Andrew and Jeffrey Epstein? I just started seeing clips of it. It's out now, right? I want to see it. I'm going to watch it and we'll talk about it at some point. I have not seen it yet. I know it's... I saw a clip of it and it's all about basically like how and why the hell would he ever do that interview with the with that reporter, that like news whatever reporter. It's kind of wild. I don't know why he did that. It didn't. And then he ended up saying a bunch of stuff he shouldn't have said, essentially. How long is it? Is it a movie? Is it a miniseries? What is it exactly? Because I literally just found out about it this morning through TikTok. More focused on Prince Andrew? Yeah, I mean, it is Prince Andrew dealing with or not dealing with Epstein stuff. It's called Scoop. Yeah, Scoop is what it's called, which is my least favorite journalistic term in the world. Every time I see someone be like, like scoop and then whatever it is, I'm like, what is this, 1943? What the fuck are you talking about? Scoop, just use the word exclusive, like a human being. Scoop, like, are you cosplaying as a sleuth in Hollywood in the 30s? Like, I don't understand. It just sounds, I just like, I immediately don't take you seriously if you use the word scoop. And I realize that's my thing, that's just a me thing, probably a weird neurodivergent thing with words, but I don't like it. Not a big fan. Do I want to talk about this thing? I saw this article and I kind of wanted to read through it a little bit. Film fans keep splurging on blockbusters and IMAX, so why hasn't Wall Street gotten on board? Last summer, IMAX CEO touched down in the German city for a conference of theater owners, looking to hype blockbusters that are meant to unspool the company's football side screens. But instead of excitement, Gelfand was greeted with outrage. "I am almost attacked," he remembers, lifting his palms as if to ward off assailants. All this, what? Why? I don't understand this. But even Cruise, who had personally lobbied Gelfand to give the next Mission Impossible tentpole a longer run, couldn't outmaneuver Nolan. Nolan's epic Oppenheimer was shot with IMAX film cameras, but contrary meant his film could be only offering in IMAX for 3 full weeks. For theater owners, okay, I think theater owners don't like IMAX because there's a limit of IMAX screens, and therefore there's a sort of a limit on how much money they can make off of it. Also, it's such an it's expensive. It takes a large area in order to put them up. I think that maybe that's kind of what the issue is. But I will say, I think very much IMAX is saving the film industry at the moment. It is the only reason I leave the house to see a movie. The last thing I want to do, like, I will suffer through it. And, like, this is something that there's another piece of this. Like, here, like, Danny McBride talks about, Danny McBride says, "Can't stand movie theaters serving dinner and drinks. I hate it, and you're going to have to piss in the middle of the film." I agree. I hate it. I can't stand it either. Yeah, I also don't think it makes sense to combine booze with movies. You're going to have to piss. Doesn't alcohol make you have to get up and get loose? You don't want to sit there, drink beer, and just be quiet. I would have no interest in seeing a movie and just pounding IPAs, just fucking fall asleep. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me either. I don't get it. I mean, I understand the thing is with movies, and the reason that they offer all of these things in theaters now is because theater owners... And this is what it has been historically. But basically, theaters break even on ticket sales. It's very expensive to put movies out. They basically break even on tickets. So you make 100% of your profits on concessions, which is why popcorn is so great. The profit margin on popcorn is like 3,000x. It is that high, as I'm sure you've noticed by how much it costs. But yeah, popcorn kernels are not expensive. The oil is not expensive. Salt is not expensive. The butter or fake butter is not expensive. So that plus drinks, again, the profit margin on fountain drinks, 1,000x, whatever, that's what it is. And then they try to offer even more stuff because that is how they can get more money. You offer fries, you offer pizza, you offer whatever. But I personally don't like to get anything other than a drink, because like a normal soft drink, because you might not realize this, but when you watch a movie or a TV show, when you're listening to a character speak, you're subconsciously thinking about how your tongue moves to say those words. You might even be actually moving your tongue to do it, but it's more of a subconscious thing. And that's it helps you take it in. So if you're eating, your mouth and your tongue are doing something different, and it's harder for you to concentrate. So that is, I think, one of the reasons why you shouldn't have food. Also, you know what sounds kind of loud? Popcorn when you chew it. You know what else is loud? Candy in the fucking boxes or in the plastic. I hate all of it. It makes sounds. I'm super ADHD. I'm so easily distracted. If you move your leg, I'm out of the movie. You move your head, I'm out of the movie. You take a drink, you eat popcorn, I'm out of the movie. Anybody moves, I'm out of the movie for that second, and I'm losing my mind, and I start fidgeting. That is a me problem, but it is one of the reasons why, like, it takes a big, big, big spectacle for me to get out into a theater. And that's what IMAX is. So it's like, Dune 2 is the last thing I saw in theaters. I don't know what else I'm going to see in theater that isn't like a big IMAX thing. But God damn it, Dune 2 was good. I've seen it a couple times now in IMAX. And it is 100% worth it. It is the best sound quality. It is the best video quality. It is the best aspect ratio format. It's incredible. And I wouldn't be surprised if we end up having... like theaters that are purely IMAX. Like if IMAX opened up their own theaters, because right now the way it works is IMAX is obviously like an option that is built into licensed within like AMC's, Regal's, Cinemax, whatever you have in your country. But I don't know why they don't make standalone IMAX theaters. And maybe it's because there wouldn't be enough. Like, because I think there are some times where there isn't really something that was shot in IMAX that would be worth put like. That you could constantly have in there. But I wouldn't be surprised if we eventually get to that point with how accessible IMAX cameras are digitally. Like Dune. Dune was shot in IMAX format, but they used the digital 65 millimeter camera, which is why the whole thing was in IMAX format. You'll notice if you saw Oppenheimer in IMAX, the aspect ratio changes a lot. The same thing happened in Dark Knight. the aspect ratio changes. And that's because he would only shoot like big wide shots, stuff like that with the IMAX camera. Then he would do regular 35 millimeter for dialogue scenes. And that's because the actual film camera is so loud that you can't shoot dialogue scenes with it. Unless you want to ADR the whole thing, which is a pain in the ass. So if you're using the digital camera, then it's a lot cleaner. It's obviously silent and you're able to use it for everything. Christopher Nolan shoots all his movies that way. Yeah, but he shoots the actual film cameras. That's what I'm talking about now. We're talking about how Chris Nolan shoots his movies. He shoots it with the film camera, so it's very, very loud. It's very much pain in the ass. But the 65 millimeter, the digital cameras, again, the thing that makes IMAX IMAX is not the film. It is not digital. It is the sensor size. That's what makes it IMAX. When we say 35, like there's 8 millimeter, like those little tiny handheld cameras. Like let's say the sensor is like this big, right? And then 16 millimeter is a little bit bigger. Then 35 millimeter is a little bit bigger. And then 65 millimeter is massive. It is a giant piece of film. It is a massive piece of film. And every time you bring it up, you increase the fidelity, but also you increase like the field of view. Like it's hard to describe. It's different than just having like a wide lens. It's like the way we see the world, like we can see all of this width, right? Like all the way to here. So like, let's say we put our eyes can basically see it like a 35 millimeter. People will say that's about how the compression looks like between a 35 millimeter, and 50 millimeter, depending on who you ask. So let's say that you put a 35 millimeter camera or 35 millimeter lens on every type of camera. On 8 millimeter, you're going to see this. On 16 millimeter, you're going to see this. On 35, you're going to see this. Then on 65, you're going to see this all the way out here. And so that's what makes it feel so kind of like epic. It's like, it's a lot closer to the way the human eye sees the world. You're just able to see a lot more. And it's not a matter of width. It's like you're just seeing like the picture got expanded. It's not warped like in a wide lens where it's wrapping around you. It is just you're seeing the world in that same depth, in that same compression, just wider. And that's what makes it such a superior format. It's not just a film thing, it is a sensor size thing. Like right now, we're using a full frame camera. This is the equivalent of a 35 millimeter film camera. So that is the width you're seeing right now on YouTube and TikTok, on YouTube and Twitch, not on TikTok. On this, you're seeing a little tiny sensor, little tiny baby sensor. And so it uses really wide lenses, and that's why you get crazy distortion on your phone cameras, because it's using a little tiny baby sensor, and they're trying to use a bunch of crazy technology to sort of undo the distortion that happens with that. I just blacked out and said all that. I don't know what we were talking about. Anyways, Flavio on YouTube, hey, love my video on Jonathan Majors' trial. Oh, great, I'm glad you liked it. Yeah, I'm going to try to do, I should do more like synopsis kind of stuff. I want to try to do, once my energy level, like this, I'm doing this so then I have stuff I can slowly put out throughout the week. But realistically, I want to do more like quick hits and like reviews of movies and stuff when I, like, you know, in my car or whatever. But yeah. Julian, hey, what's up? Looking good? Thank you very much. Appreciate you. Oh yeah, you know what? Personal stuff. I am down so much weight. This is like the first time I've been like sub 190 in a long time. I'm like 6'6", so and now I'm like 188 or something, and I've been working out. Feeling pretty good. Skinniest I've felt in a while. Doing pretty good. Now that is because of mostly I have not been super hungry, and I've like all food seems disgusting to me right now because I've been eating the same thing, which I think is just like an ADHD thing. I've been eating the same thing for months. And then one day you take a bite of it and it just feels disgusting. And now you're like, well, now what do I do? And so now I've been like kind of searching. I almost landed on a certain thing, but now all it's like eggs are about to be disgusting. I can feel it. I can feel it coming. Eggs are about to be disgusting. I've been eating tuna. I need to get back on the tuna train, I think. But that's where I'm at. Tuna and avocados, I think, is what I'm going to be eating. But yeah, food is kind of disgusting right now. So that's a pretty good way of losing weight, is being like, I can't eat anything right now. I don't think I can't really eat anything. I also don't really drink. I try to do this like we're standing right now, in case you can't tell. We're standing. I try to do as much standing at like a standing desk as I can, because I don't walk around much. So this is my thing. Anyways, neither here nor there. All right, back on the topic. This is one of those things I could not be more excited for this particular story, which is Legally Blonde TV series in the works at Amazon? Abso-fucking-lutely, yes. Reese Witherspoon is teaming up with Josh Schwartz and Stephanie Savage on the project, which is being developed at the streamer. Fabulous. I'm very excited. Reese Witherspoon and her Hello Sunshine banner. Okay, so she's producing it. That's great. Gossip Girl and the OC grads Josh Schwartz and Stephanie Savage. I love the OC. I love Josh Schwartz. He's awesome. He's one of my favorite TV creators, period. Could not be more excited. I love that Reese is involved in this. Winner all around. I don't know who they're going to get. I don't know if it's going to be her. I don't know if it's going to be Reese Witherspoon in it or if it's just her producing team. But I'm jazzed. Wasn't there supposed to be a Legally Blonde 3 movie? Maybe it might have pivoted to this, which I think could be better. But again, it'll likely be a courtroom procedural. Arthur, exactly. You could see it as a procedural court drama. I would be shocked if it wasn't that. Either way, I'm super excited about this. This is a very good team. It is a very good, like, you can very easily see what each episode would be. You know, if this ends up being like bubblegum suits, I will be so happy. If that was the pitch, I'd be like, absolutely fucking go. Here's $1 billion. Do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. Cause it's gonna be good. I would love to see her as, oh, what if it was like a little time jump and Reese Witherspoon owned, she had her own firm. And so it's about her firm. Eh? That would make sense, right? Then it's like everything that happens at her firm. And there's all these like younger people who would have otherwise not been taken seriously in the legal world that she has hired. And now they're taking on really bizarre cases and looking at it kind of out of the box. That would be my pitch. I would love to see Jennifer Coolidge in it, certainly, definitely. She's hot right now, so yeah. A Bee's Twin on Twitch. I guess it's going to be close to Drop Dead Diva in terms of the tone. Oh, that's a good point. I actually, who was I dating? Somebody made me watch all of Drop Dead Diva, and I loved it. That was a great show. Fucking great show. I loved that stuff. It is probably going to be exactly like Drop Dead Diva. That's a good point. I think that is probably a lot more CW-ish than they might do with this one. Because it's not quite the same tone. Like Drop the Diva from Legally Blonde. By the way, Legally Blonde, unapologetically, is one of my favorite movies of all time. Top 10. Also, one of my cinematography teachers in film school shot Legally Blonde. He was a very famous cinematographer in the 70s who did a bunch of, he did that movie like The Man Who Fell to Earth, was that it? The David Bowie movie. He did a bunch of amazing stuff in the 70s. And those like high price, high art cinematographers, when they're not doing those, they'll take a comedy because it's just easy. It's like, it's light, it's bright, you're shooting basic coverage, easy. But go back and watch it and you'll notice like, this is actually, the cinematography in it is really good. It's shot very well, very, very well. Anyways, I couldn't be more excited for this. Great team, great movie, gonna be a good TV show. Super excited. Okay, my other cinematography teacher in film school shot all of the Saw movies. He was awesome. Oh, I forgot. Oh, the guy who did Legally Blonde, the cinematographer in film school. He was like 70 something. He was married to one of the Charlie's Angels. This guy lived. He lived a life. We introduced him to internet porn. He had no idea you could just get it on your phone. He was like, because he was like a dirty old man, very dirty old man. And yeah, we introduced him to internet porn. He had no idea. And then like, I think it was like a couple weeks later, he was just like, he looked kind of was like slumped over. And we're like, what's going on? He's like, it's too much. He just like OD'd on it. He fell into a rabbit hole and just watched like way too much porn and just totally OD'd. He's like, I can't do it anymore. There's just too much. There's just too much out there. Anyways, I hope he's doing okay. That guy was great. I really hope he's okay. Exclusive scoop only on the podcast. Shut up. here's another thing really fast I wanted to talk about. So Reacher star Alan Ritchson continues to let it be known that he wants to play Batman in James Gunn's DCU. Honestly? Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
There, I said it. Okay, I'll shout it from the rooftops. I want to be Bruce Wayne. Here's the thing about Batman. You know what his superpower is?
Yeah, I don't blame him. I also want to be Batman. Yeah, I think everybody wants to be Batman. But he's actually built for it. Now that he put on like 30 pounds of muscle or something for Reacher. So he's like, he's got the like, the beefy older Batman, like for me in my head, like his comic books and stuff, like Batman is thick. He's like a chunky dude. And that he has the body of Batman in my head, 100%. He also has kind of the disposition of like a, of like, I don't know, like a rich gym bro, if you will. So I think that would kind of work. I don't know. I like him. I dig him. I endorse him. God, he's in shape. That looks exhausting. That looks exhausting. Previous reports had confirmed that Robert Pattinson's Dark Knight would be incorporated in DCU with the levels of sizable opening to Brave and the Bold. I don't know. I'm pretty sure that's its own thing, though. I'm still 90% sure. There have been previous reports, but I don't think anything was confirmed. I really, really don't think that Robert Pattinson's Batman's going to be in the DCU. I think that's its own thing. I'm 90% sure. Like, whatever. Clip it. I think it's going to be... not a part of the DCU. He would want to do his own thing. Because remember, also, like, Robert Pattinson's Batman, like, that is a tonal universe within itself. Like, each new Batman movie is a new Gotham, a new tone universe. You know, the Tim Burton Batmans exist in an entirely different world than the Joel Schumacher Batmans, exist in a totally different world than the Chris Nolan Batmans, exist in a totally different universe from the animated movies and shows, exist in a completely different universe from the Batman. So there's no way that James Gunn wants to then incorporate that world into his. He wants to build his own goddamn world. What's the point of starting over from scratch? If you don't get to do, you know, like, establish your own tonal universe, there's no way he's going to just, like, incorporate that. Also, I'm pretty sure that I feel like the contract that Matt Reeves had, I feel like I remember reading something about, like it was meant to be like this is its own thing. He has complete creative freedom to do what he wants. And I think he wanted the Nolan thing of like, this is my thing and you can't twist it into other things. Like, this is my thing. And then with the caveat of, like, Penguin and stuff like that. That's what I think, anyways. Oh, here's Tina to come say hi. Tina, you want to say hi? Say hi to my kitty. She just had surgery. She just got spayed. She's feeling pretty good. She's been a good kitty. If you're listening on the podcast, I apologize for this part, but you can watch the VODs elsewhere. I've been monitoring her closely. She had the cone on and then ripped it off immediately. And then I got her a surgical suit. She ripped it off immediately. So I've been monitoring her really closely, and she has not messed with her stitches at all. So I'm just keeping an eye on her, and she's been fine. I check her stitches to make sure everything's okay. She's healing well. And if the more times I try to put something on her, the more she fights and fidgets. And I think the more likely she is to injure herself than just to not have anything on. So I'm always here, and she's always here. So, like, I can see what she's up to. So I'm keeping a good eye on her. I think we're good to go. A couple other things. James Mangold's Star Wars movie to be co-written by House of Cards co-creator Bo Willimon. This I'm excited about. He's a great writer. And this is a weird photo of him. But I'm excited about this. So this is Star Wars Dawn of the Jedi. He'll co-write the script. He'll pen the Lucasfilm project alongside James Mangold, who will also direct the film. So chase the origins of the Force will be set 25,000 years before any other Star Wars project previously seen. That's awesome. But also, like, Bo Willimon, I love him. If you haven't seen, I mean, he was great in House of Cards, but my favorite thing he's done is Ides of March, that George Clooney directed picture with Ryan Gosling. I love that. That was based on a stage play that he did called Farragut North. It was an adaptation of that, but it is extremely well written. He is an awesome writer. He's a great writer. I forget what else he's done. He's done some other great stuff too. But I'm excited to... Oh yeah, Dawn of the Jedi isn't Willimon's first brush with the franchise. He previously wrote for the first season of the critically acclaimed Andor. I didn't realize that. Interesting. So he's not even new. He wrote for one of the best Star Wars things. Oh, I'm so in. This is such a good choice. I didn't realize he was already in the fold. I'm in. I'm very in. He wrote the breakout episode? Oh, it's a good episode. Ah, that show was great. It made me sad, but it was great. It was really, really great. Yeah, I highly, highly endorse him in every way. All right, next thing I want to talk about really fast. This is just a little thing. To literally no one's surprise, Dune 3 is happening. He is officially a go. I know that he kind of said like, oh, well, you know, we're kind of waiting to see if we're going to do it. You know, it has to be better than 2. And it was always going to be the issue where it's like, it's probably not going to be better than 2 because... You know, Dune Part 1 and Part 2 is the first book, and then the second book, Messiah, is not that good. So the source material, he's going to have to do some, like, gymnastics, I think, to get it to be something interesting. But also, I think he said he doesn't really want to go beyond Messiah because of how insane and esoteric the other books get. Because there's six total, if I recall correctly, that before the son took over, and he won't stop writing books, and even though everybody asks him not to. I definitely think there is potential for him to incorporate some of the things from the other books that aren't too crazy. So maybe there's that. Maybe it's like he'll do Messiah. Because again, if you don't realize, like, Messiah, the only reason that Frank Herbert wrote Messiah is because everybody read Dune and was like, Dude, Paul's awesome. Hell yeah, Paul. And I was like, no, you're not supposed to fucking like Paul. He literally does genocide. You're not supposed to like Paul. And so they incorporated, he, like, in this one, he tried to make sure that the author's original intention in Dune 2 was known. And he definitely rewrote it with that in mind. But that's things like, so Messiah was written just to hammer home the point to be careful of Messiah prophecies and to, and that Paul's not a good guy. So, and because of that, it was like not really meant to exist that he wrote that. And then it wasn't as good. So I don't know what he's going to try to do with Messiah. If I were him, I might not even call it Messiah. I might call it Dune Part 3, frankly. Because it's like, it's not like Dune 2 ends, you know, really, really hard on that. It's like, it keeps going, obviously. Dune Messiah says it's already in development. Zatara, well, that's what I'm talking about right here. That's what this story is. It's already in development on IMDb because they just announced it. IMDb updates like that. Yeah, it is officially a go. They're doing it. If I were him, I would try to incorporate some stuff from the other books too. Because yeah, Messiah's only okay. And then I think last thing I wanted to talk about, which I'm a little conflicted on. Christian Bale transforms into Frankenstein's monster in first look at Maggie Gyllenhaal's The Bride. He definitely looks like Jared Leto's Joker, which I'm not super jazzed about. Like Frankenstein with a tattoo here. It looks a little Hot Topic-y. I understand that it's like, you know, this is just a camera test. Sure. But like, I'm a little worried. It's also Maggie Gyllenhaal's like first directorial debut. So like, I don't know. Oh, by the way, if you remember, there was a clip from, oh gosh, what was it? Was it the Indie Spirit Awards where John Mulaney hosted? I think, or he presented something, and he gave a speech about how, like, about how he read an email from his agent in which he was asked to audition to play young cop in a Maggie Gyllenhaal project. It was this. This is the thing he auditioned for and didn't get. It was for a role as young cop in this movie, in case you remember seeing that clip. Do we need Thirst Traps Frankenstein? I mean, I trust Christian Bale, but I also, like, obviously they worked together previously, so he's more likely to answer the phone and to say yes, and more likely to trust her, even if she makes bad decisions. So, I don't know. This is just one photo. I trust Christian Bale, but I'm a tad worried. Obviously, this is going to be a Bride of Frankenstein thing. But hey, sure. I don't know. Yeah, maybe, possibly, I guess. I'll allow it. I'll see. Wong San on Twitch thought that was Mickey Rourke present day. It does look like Mickey Rourke present day. Oh, my God. Oi. Bad boy Frankie. Yeah, it definitely looks like the gangster Joker, which is a choice that everyone loved, really. Beloved worldwide. If we're being honest. Oh, we've been talking for like an hour and a half. It's going to be a decently sized podcast. Okay. I think that's kind of it. I think that's all I've got. Anything else you guys wanted to talk about? You said for Neve Campbell coming back to Scream. If that's the case, yeah. I mean, obviously, it's like they lost their main cast of this new version of Scream, and so they're having to kind of come crawling back to the cast, like Neve Campbell, who they told to go fuck herself, which I'm sure was a very nice well moment for her. No, I know it's confirmed. Yeah. Oh, you're right, it is confirmed. No, you're right. I remember now, yeah. Wong San, thank you for the subscription on Twitch. Yeah, I forgot. Good for her. Get the bag. I don't know if the movie's going to be any good. Last couple weren't that great. Thoughts on New Joker? What, New Joker? You mean like, you mean the Joker sequel with, what's his face? Or do you mean the Joker like parody movie? What are you talking about? Excited for Fallout series? I was not a big Fallout guy, I'll be honest. I'm a big Bethesda guy, but I'm a big like Elder Scrolls guy. I never really got into Fallout. I played a little bit of like Fallout 4. I haven't played New Vegas. I played 76, but I like the idea of that world. I have not enjoyed playing any of the games. It's just me. I don't know. That's just a me thing though. I don't know. I think that's all I got. Yeah, the Joker sequels. It looks good. Favorite Elder Scrolls? Oh, it's definitely Skyrim. Oblivion is, I think, is like a better RPG probably, but I think Skyrim, because what Skyrim did was make it, they took what was previously a very esoteric and inaccessible RPG style and made it very accessible for a mainstream audience. And that's what made it one of the most popular games of all time. It was like baby's first medieval RPG. And that's always a good way to do it, is to take something very complicated and make it more accessible for a broader audience. Arguably, you could say that's what Baldur's Gate 3 did with Dungeons & Dragons rules. Do Invincible Season just released? I watched a little bit of it. I haven't caught up on it. Bale's a weird duck. Sometimes he disappears into a role and sometimes he kind of phones it in. Yeah. Recommended any recently released movies? I haven't watched anything recent, honestly. Last thing I watched was, oh, I will say, reminder to everybody that Sunday, if you're watching this today or listening, tomorrow Sunday is when they're going to release the fifth episode of Quiet on the Set, the Nickelodeon documentary. So I never did a video on the first one. So after I watch this fifth episode, I might do a video real fast and put it on YouTube and everywhere else. I don't know yet. We'll see what it ends up being. Not super fan of it being hosted by Soledad O'Brien. I don't know why that was necessary. But I'll watch it. I'm curious. Curious to see who else comes out and what else they want to say about the topic. Because obviously, I think a lot of people saw that and were like, oh yeah, I have some stuff I'd like to say on that topic, actually. Or people who felt like they want to let themselves be known because of their silence or absence from such documentary. I really want to see, what is that new thing with Henry Cavill? Something about gentleman something, and the guy from Reacher's in it too. What is it? What is it? The Gentlemanly something? I keep wanting to say League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, but it's not that. Gentlemanly Warfare. Ministry Gentlemanly Warfare. I'm really excited for this. April 19th, so it comes out in like a week. That looks pretty good. Yeah, Henry Cavill, Alan Richson, Carrie Ells is in it. Guy from Saw and Princess Bride. Anyways, it looks pretty good. I'm excited for it. Also, Henry Cavill is awesome. I'll see him in anything. Where have I been? I've been busy. Yeah, I'm trying to get back into the habit of content stuff. Why are you meowing at me? What's up? Everybody's meowing. What? What do you want? Sorry, Francesca's meowing at me very violently. Anywho, I think that's all I've got. I think we might wrap it here. R10, hi on Twitch. How you doing? Big Beat something. What do you think of Scoop? I haven't watched Scoop yet. I will watch Scoop. Did it just come out? Because I'm just now seeing clips of it. I hadn't heard about it before. I'll watch it. I'll watch Scoop, and then I might do a video on it, or we'll talk about it next week. But anyways, I love you guys. Thank you so much for watching. We're going to be doing this again next week, Saturday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, 7 London time. So I love you all. Thank you for watching. I'm going to cut the ticky-talky first, if you will. Thanks, all. Appreciate you. Okay, that one's done. Love you guys. Thank you. I'm going to cut this now. I'm going to immediately post this on podcast services. I'm going to make the one for next week, and I might cut some of these down. I hope you like. Hope you liked this. I don't know. I did different camera stuff. Hopefully you liked that. More topics. We went a little bit longer. We didn't have like the one big thing that was a big draw for people, which is fine. But we may in the future, so who knows. Anyways, I love you guys. Thank you so much for watching. I appreciate you, and I will see you next week. Thank you so much.